Please turn with me to the book of Joel again. We're continuing in this very short series on the latter rain covenant. The latter rain covenant. Joel chapter 2. Find Daniel. Then the book of Hosea. Then you'll find the small book of Joel or Joel. Joel chapter 2. And my message here this morning is the latter rain or the latter rain revival. The latter rain, we looked at the former rain. Then last week, the winter rain. And then here we're going to look at the latter rain. So important that we hear this teaching. Because saints, much is built upon this. If you have no foundation for your faith, no foundation for your prayers, no foundation for expectation, how will you seek that God sends a revival in this city or in our families or in this generation? You need to know it's God's will. It's His desire. It's His plan. It's His promise. No more than that. It is His covenant to pour out His Spirit in our generation. I didn't live 50 years ago or 100 years ago. I wasn't alive in 1859 or 1904 or 1906 or 1921 or 1949. When all these revivals came, I live in the 21st century and I've got to know, like every other previous generation, that God has purposed to send a revival. My generation needs a revival. The world's population has never been bigger than it is right now. Never has any generation been prepared to send as many to hell in one short generation as ours. And if we don't see revival, more people will go to hell in our lifetime than any other generation in world history. I want this to grip us here this morning. No generation will send more people to an eternal hell from which they'll never escape and they'll spend eternity in the newer generation if we don't see a revival. Without a mighty move of God, a mighty revival, this generation, our generation, your age group, is fast on its way to hell and will damn literally several billion people to an eternity outside of Christ, never to get another opportunity. Let's read from Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let's pray together. Ask the Lord. Saints, we are in a crisis in this generation. We are in a great tragedy. We are about to see the greatest train wreck, the greatest disaster in all of history. And we are eyewitnesses to it. If God doesn't intervene, if he doesn't suddenly come to his house, if he doesn't come to rescue his church, if he doesn't come to revive the church, if he doesn't come to save an entire generation, we are on the verge. You are going to see millions and millions pour into hell every single year of your life. You're going to see multitudes go from Ireland straight into a lost eternity without a care of their eternal soul. Let's pray here that God helps us and puts a burden and creates a desire to pray for this revival. Father, we do pray here this morning that you open up this covenant to us. We don't want to be ignorant. You said that your people perish, Lord God, because of a lack of knowledge. We don't want to be ignorant in this room. Lord God, we want to see. We want to hear. We want to know your covenant. Lord God, that covenant in which you promised the former and the latter rain in its season. My God, I'm asking of you, grip hearts in this room. Lord God, even as a church, we grip this church to see, oh God, that we're dying men, oh God, standing between an entire generation and an eternal hell. My God, will you awaken us up? Will you revive us? Will you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Lord God, will you stir a deep passion and a desire, Lord God, to plead with this generation as dying men preaching to dying men? Lord God, I'm asking, open our eyes to eternity. Lord God, stamp eternity on our conscience, on our minds, on our hearts. Lord God, on our every waking moment. My God, do whatever it takes to waken this church up, to waken preachers up. My God, every one of us in this room. My God, make us all soul winners. Lord God, make us flames of fire. My God, will you visit us in power in this generation that we might lead men to Christ. Lord God, that we might turn them from hell unto heaven, from sin unto righteousness, by your power and by your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, we come here to this third message, the latter rain. We've looked at the former rain, the winter rain. And here this morning, I want to deal with the latter rain. That's my message, the latter rain revival. The latter rain promised by God in Scripture. I'm not talking about the latter rain movement that began in 1948. That was a heretical movement. They had a revival of gold dust, strange manifestations, all sorts of unusual doctrines. I'm not talking about the manifest sons of God doctrine or kingdom now theology. When I talk about the latter rain, I'm not talking about any of these movements that have come to us within the last two generations. I reject them. They're heretical, false manifestations and false revivals. I'm talking about something very different. I am talking about a Bible doctrine of the latter rain revival. You see, as we've already dealt with, God speaks to us about rain as the Holy Spirit. When he talks about rain coming down in the Bible, he is actually talking. It's a picture, a symbol, a sign of the Holy Spirit being outpoured on the church. And he says here in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, be glad. And there's a reason we're to be glad, because God has actually promised his children, his chosen ones, the sons of Zion are the children of Zion. He says, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. I want to remind you, like we did before, God has made a covenant with Israel to send them rain at the right season, at the right time. He has also made a covenant with the church to send spiritual revival, that at the right time, in the right season, in order to bring forth the harvest, he is going to pour out his spirit. Just as he sent natural rain on natural Israel for a natural harvest, so he's going to send spiritual rain on spiritual Israel for a spiritual harvest. God has made a covenant. Let me remind you about the rainy season in Israel. During their summertime, there are 5 months of scorching heat. It doesn't rain for one day during those 5 months, and the ground literally hardens and breaks open with the heat. It gets scorching, dry, hot. And then at the end of that 5 months, the Lord sends the early rain. What is the early rain? It's the first rain, or the former rain, or the autumn rain. And it begins in October every single year, still down to our own generation. When it reaches October, the entire nation is desperate. They are dry, they are thirsty, and they know we need to plant a harvest. We need to begin to sow the seed and to break up or plow the ground. But we need the rain to prepare the ground. All of our labor won't accomplish anything if God doesn't send the rain. We must pray for the rain. Saints, I'm exhorting you in this message. We must pray for the rain in this city, on our families. If you don't want God to move in your family, do not pray this. But if we want God to move in this city and through this church and in this generation, we must begin to pray for the rain. Lord, it's the time of the former rain. Will you send us the rain that we can plow up the ground and sow good seed? You see, farmers always waited for that former rain. And that former rain began to fall very gently and softly in October, and it continued through November into the month of December, then it came to an end. You see, this is a picture of revival in the church. When did the early rain begin? It began on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and he said, "This is that which Joel the prophet prophesied about. This is that I will pour out my spirit." Saints, what a mighty promise. That God promised, "I will pour out my spirit." That was the early rain. You want to know what early rain looks like? You want to know what it's like when the Holy Spirit is poured out? Look at Pentecost, when one man who several weeks ago was scared to preach to one young lady, when he stands up in the middle of a city and he begins to preach the cross and preach repentance, and 3,000 souls are crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Saints, you have never seen that with your eye, because you have never seen the early rain. You've never seen what it is for God to pour out His Spirit. You're sitting here, you're born again. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. God has spoken to you through His Word. Maybe He has spoken prophetically through to you through the gifts of the Spirit. But have you experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when He pours out His Spirit in one moment of time and thousands in one sermon press into the kingdom of God? They're born again, changed, never to go back to the world again. You see, that is the early rain. It is a mighty deluge, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we see in the Bible the early rain all through the book of Acts and the first century of the church, and it continued to last for 300 years. Do you know, in Israel, the rain stops, or the early rain stops, in December. The ground has been plowed, the seed has been sown. It is the beginning of the harvest. The seed is in the ground and it's begun to germinate. But then the former rain comes to an end. It actually stops. It comes to an end. And again, saints, if another rainy season doesn't come, all that will be in vain. Everything that happened on the day of Pentecost, at Caesarea and Ephesus and Antioch, it will mean nothing if another rain doesn't come. But God sends the winter rain. The rain again begins to fall in December time, and it continues through to March, and we talked about that last week. This is called the winter rain. The nights are darker. The cold wind blows in. Snow even begins to fall. That is the winter rain. Do you realize God sent to the church not only the former rain and the revivals of early church history, but when the dark ages came from Constantine through the Reformation, that era of history that's called the dark ages, when Catholicism became a great church and blinded men to the truth for 1,000 years, that was the dark ages. Or that was the period of the winter rain. But saints, I want to take you further here this morning to the latter rain. What is the latter rain? After the winter rain stops, winter has come to an end. The cold months of winter are beginning to break again, and spring is approaching. As we enter into March, the winter rain stops as we change seasons. And as we go through the month of March, the latter rain has come. You see, every farmer knows, I've had my early rain, I've had my winter rain, but now I must have a latter rain. The early rain was to plant the seed. The winter rain was to grow the seed. But the latter rain is to bring in the harvest. The latter rain is all about harvest, or bringing multitudes of souls into the kingdom of God. Saints, we are at the end of this generation. We are at the end of church history. We are at the end of history. And it is the time of the latter rain. You see, the Bible shows us that this latter rain, it's all through the Bible. It's in Daniel 11 and Hosea 6 and Joel chapter 2 and Haggai chapter 2 and Jeremiah chapter 5. God speaks to his people not only about the former rain, but the latter rain. You have no full harvest without the latter rain. It is essential to have a latter rain outpouring to bring in the harvest. I want to deal with just four simple points here this morning as we look at the latter rain, what it is, what it looks like. First of all, it was promised by the prophets. A latter rain. What is latter rain? It's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's different than the former. It's different than the winter. There is a latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When he says he's going to send the latter rain, he means he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, that just as I sent you the former rain, so I'm going to send you the latter rain. God has promised us a latter rain outpouring to the church, not just to Israel. The church was promised. What began on the day of Pentecost? God said he is going to finish it with a latter rain outpouring. In other words, before Christ returns, before the church finishes its task on the earth, it's got to finish its last days with a latter rain. Why? To bring in the last harvest. Jesus will not come back until that latter rain actually comes to the church. But notice here how many of the prophets prophesied concerning this. They all prophesied about revival for God's people. There will be a former rain. It began on the day of Pentecost, but there will also be a latter rain. It will come after the long 1,000 years of darkness in church history. God is going to have a springtime. He's going to change everything from the dark ages and begin to pour out his Spirit in the latter rain again. It did look dark. It was terrible to live during the dark ages, but God is going to send another revival. It says in Proverbs 1:23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Here in the Proverbs it said, when God pours out his spirit, he's going to make his words known unto you. Don't accept a revival that doesn't have preaching in it. I don't need manifestations. I want to hear the preaching of the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 32 and 15, it says, until the spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. In Isaiah 44 and 3 it says, I will pour upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed or thy children, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows among the watercourse. Or in Ezekiel 39, it says, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. Zechariah 12, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Or in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he that is Christ has shed forth this which you now see. What was Peter saying there in his sermon? He's saying, look around you. Do you know what this is? This is the promised Holy Spirit. This is the promised outpouring of the Spirit. Saints, the prophets promised revival. Why does God give promises? Why do the prophets say, I'm going to pour out my Spirit? Can I ask you here this morning, have you experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do you know what it is for the heavens to open and the Holy Spirit to fall and for thousands to be brought in? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? Have you witnessed it in your generation? And yet all the prophets prophesy about it. They prophesy about this experience when God falls on his people, when God actually in heaven, Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, opens the windows of heaven and pours out the Holy Spirit. Do you realize God gives his word to turn our hearts to prayer? God gives a covenant of the latter rain in order to stir our hearts. He says, will I not do it if you seek me? Will I not pour out my spirit? Will I not show you things that you have never seen in your generation? Do you not know I'm willing to do things that nobody in your generation has yet saw? Look at church history, saints, all the great revivals, and yet God in our generation says he wants to pour out his spirit again. You see, the prophets in the Old Testament, and Joel in particular, he not only prophesied the former rain, he prophesied the latter rain. Secondly, it was not only promised by the prophets, it was fulfilled through church history. All the prophecies about revival had been fulfilled over the past 2,000 years. God actually, all these promises that Joel made and Jeremiah and Isaiah, do you realize we can read about it now? We can read about thousands of revivals when God came to cities and nations and to towns and he used weak individuals. We can actually read God was faithful in every single generation in church history. This isn't just theology. God came and poured out his Holy Spirit. Can I ask you here this morning, when did the latter rain begin? If the former rain was Pentecost and continued for 300 years, if the winter rain began after Constantine and continued to the time of the Reformation, what was the spring rain? What was that rain? The light rains of March, spiritually in the church history, when did they begin to fall? I believe they began to fall at the Reformation. In 1517, we read in our history books about a Catholic priest called Martin Luther. He was a man who had sought for decades to be forgiven of his sins, to know that he was made righteous. He was seeking after a conscience that was right before God. He knew all the religion. He knew all the statues. He knew all the saints. He knew the traditions of the Catholic Church. But he was a man tormented, seeking forgiveness. This man of God went back to the Bible and began to seek for God and began to search after righteousness and a right relationship with God. And do you realize that this man, as he studied the scripture, he realized what the true gospel was. He found that the just are made righteous by faith. That you are justified, forgiven of all your sins by sin. Not by good works, not by religion, but by faith alone. And this man, Martin Luther, in 1517, with a document in his hand, walked across his town square, walked to his church door, and he nailed his thesis to that door. Little did he realize, from this hour, there was a pronouncement that the spring rain was about to begin to fall. This reformer, this preacher, this man of fire who challenged the popes and the cardinals and the princes and the traditions of his generation. He was a prophet of a coming revival that was about to begin. God is about to send the latter rain revival. We are in the last days and God is going to pour out his spirit again. If you know anything about church history, within 30 years of Martin Luther nailing his thesis to the door, 60% of Europe went seeking after the truth of the gospel. The nations of Europe were shook upside down, inside out, and vast millions began to seek after true salvation. The nation of Scotland was changed under 40 days of preaching by a man called John Knox, who had been training to be a Catholic priest. When he went back to the Bible again and began to preach, and in 40 days, the entire nation threw out Catholicism and began to preach, "You must be born again." You see, saints, that was the beginning of the latter rain. God is going to revive his church in every generation. God began to shake all of Europe, and men like William Tyndale began to translate the Bible into the language of the people. Martin Luther began to translate the Bible into German, and William Tyndale translated it into English. That's the Bible you've got in your hands here this morning. This had a dramatic impact in our world and our generation. Tremendous. But what happened in Ireland? I believe the latter rain revival began to fall in Ireland in the 1620s. In 1620, a strange man, a very unusual man called James Glendenning, not Clendenning, but Glendenning. In 1620, he was a Scotsman and he traveled to the north of Ireland, to Antrim. He was unusual. He was irregular. He wasn't trained. He wasn't eloquent. He wasn't knowledgeable. He didn't have degrees, but he did have a passion for revival. He believed God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He believed the promises of the prophets. And he began to pray and to preach in the north of Ireland. You see, all of Ireland was dominated by Catholicism. Most people living in Ireland knew nothing about the Bible. They were forbidden to read the Bible. But this strange, eccentric Presbyterian began to preach, "You must be born again. There's a judgment day. There is a day of wrath." And if you read the history, in 1626, God began to pour out his spirit and hundreds of people were converted. Then thousands were converted. County Down and Antrim were literally saturated with a heaven-sent revival. God began to pour out his spirit once again. All through the next 100 years, the reformers, the Anabaptists, the Huguenots, the Puritans, the Covenanters, all began to experience what the Bible taught. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to send the latter rain revival. You know why? The greatest harvest is about to come in. God is going to gather in the harvest that began on the day of Pentecost. It carried on through until the Methodist revival in the 1800s, when Thomas Walsh, that young man, was saved and converted on the streets of Limerick and become one of the greatest preachers Ireland has ever known. He travelled to the very boundaries of this nation of Ireland, preaching the gospel, seeing thousands converted. But saints, was this just active ministry? No, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God was pouring out his Holy Spirit again. You see, over the last 500 years, we have watched the latter rain revival. In 1839, we read about a man called James Chalmers Burns in the little town of Kilsyth in Scotland. He was 24 years old and in fact was filling in for McShane and his church in Dundee. He was a young man, 24 years old. He'd been saved for 7 years and he'd never seen one convert. He was a preacher. He was very gifted, very powerful, a man of prayer, but he'd never led one person to Jesus Christ. As he's there in McShane's church, his father sends a letter, saying, "Son, I want you to come be with us and to preach on a Tuesday morning service." As he returned to his father's church, he prayed all through that weekend for the right message to preach on that Tuesday morning. When he got up to preach that morning, he opened to Psalm 110 and verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." As he began to preach, he testified about previous revivals when God came and poured out his spirit on the church. And as he shared with them what God had done in the previous generations and preached, God wants to do it again. He was mid-sentence when he heard a mighty rushing wind blowing through the congregation. The history books say a revival began on that day. Thousands in that church fell on their face and began to groan and to cry out for genuine salvation. Within weeks, he's preaching to crowds of 10,000 people. Saints, I'm telling you, a one vessel who had never led one man to Christ is suddenly leading tens of thousands to Jesus Christ. There's the 1859 revival. 100,000 got saved in Ireland, 100,000 in Wales, 300,000 in Scotland, and 1 million in America, all within 1 year. What is that? That is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This was the latter rain. Or what about 1904 in Wales, when a young man who's at Bible college and who has great desires to serve God, he's never preached. He hasn't even graduated from Bible college. No minister will allow him in their pulpit. But he's at Bible school and he has a vision of revival. He goes to the leader of the Bible school and he said, "I've got to leave and go home. God is going to send a revival." When he returned home to his small community, he spoke to the ministers and said, "Would you let me preach?" No one would let him preach. He's 26 years old. He's never preached a sermon in his life. And the only meeting he could get is a youth meeting with 16 teenagers. As he went and spoke at that meeting and began to pray and to preach and exhort them, the wind of God begins to blow again. Within 6 months, 100,000 people have been converted. Or what about 1906, when God began to send the Pentecostal revival, and in little storefronts and tiny meetings and in barns, God began to pour out his spirit on groups of 20 and 40 and 50 people. And again, a great revival came that swept our world. Do you realize in the last 100 years, more people have turned to Christ than in all of church history? More in the last 100 years. Saints, this has been fulfilled within church history. The latter rain that began with the Reformation carried through to the 20th century. with the Pentecostal revival, with great revival sweeping the world, straight through to the Hebrides and Lewis revival in 1949 through to 1953. But do you know, in Israel, the latter rain comes to an end. There's a time when after all that latter rain fallen, it stops. And saints, millions have literally come in this latter rain revival over the past 500 years. But it seems like it has stopped. The latter rain has stopped. I want to tell you, in our generation, the rain isn't falling like it did a generation ago, or 40 years ago, or in my mother's day. You see, there were churches all over our nations that knew the power of God, but something has changed in our generation. It's very hard to know when the latter rain stops in Israel. When the latter rain stops, you're going to face another 5 months of scorching heat and no rain. You see, I believe we're in that place where the latter rain has stopped falling. And now we're on the verge of entering into 5 months of scorching heat where there's no rain and no harvest and nothing can be done. The revivals have come and gone, 500 years of revival. But saints, I didn't live in their day. I was not there in 1921 or 1859 or 1904. Those revivals I've read about, but they're gone. I didn't see them. This is now the 21st century. And everything that has happened in church history now rests on this generation. If we don't see a further latter rain, it's all over in this generation. Thirdly, this latter rain was given to a praying and a believing people. Listen very carefully before we close. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. This is the command of the prophet. Not only do we have the promise through the prophets, not only do we have the fulfillment of 500 years in church history of remarkable revivals, but saints, I want you to see that this latter rain was always given to a praying people. Always. God never sent the latter rain, but to a praying people. He sent the winter rain to a praying people. He sent the latter rain to a praying people. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Notice here in this scripture, he says there's a certain time you're to pray for the latter rain. Very specifically, the latter rain. What's the latter rain for? To bring in the harvest. To bring in a multitude of souls. And he says there's a time when you must ask for the latter rain. There's an actual time. And he says when you know it's the time of the latter rain, you better pray for the rain or it won't come. How do you know it's the time of the latter rain? What is the time of the latter rain? Do you know what the time of the latter rain is? When you've preached and you've prayed and you've evangelized and there's no harvest. That's the time of the latter rain. That if the rain doesn't come now, everything we have done in this church is wasted and gone. All the evangelism in this community, all the preaching, all the videos through the internet, if we don't see a revival come now, since it's the time of the latter rain in this church and in our generation, it's the time of the latter rain. Either it's all over or we're going to get one last outpouring. But if we do not get an outpouring, our labors are in vain. Thank God the few are saved. Thank God we've snatched souls from hell. Thank God we've saved some. But if we don't see an outpouring of the Spirit now, it's all in vain. The prophet said you're to ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. If you don't pray, saints, this harvest is going to be lost. I don't care how much you've evangelized. I don't care how many tracts we've sent out. If you're a prayerless Christian, you'll be a rainless Christian. If we're a prayerless church, we're not going to get the rain in this church, I assure you. Saints, it is a time for us as a church in our prayer meetings, in our private lives, every day to say, Lord, send us the latter rain. We need a revival in this city of Limerick. The prophet actually says you're to ask for the rain. Saints, you need to stir your heart and I need to stir my heart to begin to pray and to believe God and say, send us this latter rain. You've done it for 500 years. And what a harvest. John Livingston was a part of that latter rain. You don't even know him. He was 27 years old. He was a young preacher. And he was actually attending a conference held in a place called Kirk of Shots in 1630. He wasn't going there to preach. He was going there to hear other visiting preachers. He's a young man. He came to hear men of God. And at that convention, there was 1,000 people had gathered for that solemn convention. He was there listening very carefully. And one of the older ministers got very ill and couldn't preach. The ministers decided young John Livingston was to preach the sermon. They went to him and said, brother, we want you to preach tomorrow morning this sermon at the convention to this crowd of 1,000 people. The young man was terrified. He was a good preacher. He was very gifted, very able, seen souls come to the Lord. But it terrified him. That night, he got on his horse and fled for his life. He literally was so scared of preaching, so scared of having to stand in front of this congregation, that he rode off into the night saying, I'm going to keep riding and be so far away, by the time of the meeting they'll never find me. He was halfway out into the night. Whenever God began to convict his heart, he stopped his horse, got off, and he began to wrestle in prayer. And say, oh God, God conquered his heart and said, you're going to go back and preach. Hallelujah. That trembling young man got back on his horse and rode back to where they were all gathered just as the service was about to start. That day as he preached, out of a congregation, a gathering in the open of 1,000 people, 500 were born again through that one sermon. Saints, I'm telling you, he won a victory in prayer and God sent the rain, and still Christians all over the world speak about that day when God sent revival to that congregation. 500 souls through one sermon, through a preacher whose knees were knocking together. My last point, it was withheld from harlot churches. Jeremiah 3 verse 3. I'm talking about the latter rain, promised through the prophets, fulfilled in church history. It's always given to those who pray, but last of all, it's withheld from harlot churches. Jeremiah 3 and 3, therefore the showers have been withholden. Are the showers being withholden in this day? And if they are being withholden, who's withholding them? You see, God's the one who sends the rain and he withholds the rain. Jeremiah actually says, therefore, there's a reason why the showers are being held back. There's not even little showers of rain, never mind floods on the ground. Somebody is withholding the rain. And I believe the rain is being withheld in our generation. I am convinced of it. The rain is not being sent in this hour. And there has been no latter rain. And listen this. This is the reason. Speaking to his people. Thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Jeremiah is preaching to God's people who represent him. And he said, you know why there's no latter rain in your generation? Because the church of your generation has a harlot's forehead. You have the forehead of a prostitute. Do you know what the forehead of a prostitute is? It's very hard. And it's very open. Do you know the prostitutes in Bible days used to advertise on the forehead. They would sit in street corners or they would sit in the center of towns and they would have a sign with their name written on it on their forehead. That's why in Revelation 17, you have on the forehead of that harlot, Mystery Babylon the Great. What's her name? She's advertising herself. She said, I'm Babylon. I'm idolatrous. I'm a false religious system. Jeremiah says here, why is there no latter rain? It's because you're advertising yourself as a prostitute. You're unfaithful to the covenant of God. You're an immoral woman. You're not being faithful to Christ. I believe the church of our generation cannot refuse us to be ashamed in this generation. Jeremiah said, you will not be ashamed. Being ashamed is the ability to blush when you're wrong. When you've disobeyed, you drop your head. When you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God, you groan within your soul. But look at this church. Jeremiah says she's not ashamed of her sin. She's not convicted. She's not bothered about her failures, her rebellion against God in her words and her thoughts and her deeds. And he says, therefore, I have withheld the latter rain. There's no latter rain. And saints, I want to assure you, for the past 20 or 30 years, there's been no latter rain in the church of our generation. It hasn't been there. In my generation, I have watched the false revivals. You see, you're either going to get a heaven-sent revival. You're going to get the former and the latter rains from God. Or you're going to have an Egyptian revival that's worked up by the power of the foot. Like they did in Egypt, they pumped the water from the Nile to try and soak the ground. It's a man-made revival. In our generation, the church of our generation has actually forced God to stop genuine revival. And what do we have now? False revivals. In 1994, there was the Toronto Revival. And it swept around the world. Strange manifestations, laughing. You would walk into a church. 10% of the churches in Britain were affected by this. They're all on their floor laughing. It was a false revival. Do you know when it began? It was a man preaching on hell, called Rodney Howard Brown. And as he preached on hell, everybody started to laugh. That's not true revival. I want to assure you. That's not the revival the Bible speaks about. That was 1994. Then in 1995 came Pensacola. A worked up, manufactured revival. In fact, the pastor of that church was trained by Brother Clendenin. And this false revival began. But they rejected truth and the way of God. They were desperate for revival, so desperate they opened up to the Toronto Revival. Straight down to 2008, where we had the Todd Bentley Revival. Men with tattoos and piercings saying they represent God. Going boom and bam, punching people, and they called it revival. Do you realize people from all over the world flew into that Florida revival? We were conducting the School of Christ here in Limerick. We got to the last day and I said, within 2 months, you'll find sexual immorality in that pulpit. It was 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We actually are in a generation where the church is manufacturing false revival, and we've forgotten what true revival is. But saints, I'm telling you, God has made a covenant to say, if you return unto me, I'll open up the heavens again. I'll send another revival. All of these recent revivals, what do they have in common? They're all going back to the Catholic Church. The leaders of the Toronto Revival, the new Florida revival, the prosperity movement, IHOP in America, the Bethel Church, all of these popular churches and movements and preachers, they're all saying the Holy Spirit has taken us back to the Catholic Church. I want to assure you, this is not real revival. And we are in the time of the latter rain, and nobody is praying for the rain. And since this church must arise to ask God for the rain again, one last time, that we can have a genuine heaven sent revival. Please stand.